I love the country. I'm not freaking out. A lot of people are freaking out because we have President Trump. I'm not. I think it's okay. And the more they try, like, CNN broke, he was giving a speech in Phoenix the other day, doing a little rally, and CNN broke in to be like, the president's lost his f***ing mind. Like, literally, I've never seen that shit before in my life, where the president of the United States is talking. I'm like, this just in, that f***er's crazy. We don't know what's going on, but grab your shit, bring your house to the f***ing ground, here's the Armageddon.
Hola, it is a crazy, insane, fire on the mountain episode of the Loftus Party. We got a podcast. I've journeyed to LA. Crazy trip. Very hot here. There's fire up in the hills. It was nuts. I've never landed in LA before where you could just see fire. So that was kind of insane. Hopefully those guys have it all taken care of. How are things going on at Camp Liberty Gimlet?
Liberty Gimlet. Putting a little, what was it, maraschino cherry in there or something to make it red. Going well, doing the barbecue today. Got a pork shoulder on the smoker.
Good luck with that. So it's a kajillion degrees out here, and man, oh man. I'm out by the pool yesterday with the kids and just thinking about, holy moly, if you're a fireman up there in the Latuna Canyon, it's mm-hmm. right up. You can, like, it's just literally, if you're in Burbank, you just look up and you're like, wow, here comes a giant line of fire. Those dudes, wow, those firemen are earning their money today.
Absolutely.
They are earning it.
Absolutely. Is it staying away from residential areas? I mean, are people pretty safe at this point?
I guess so. My friend, there's a girl that I wrote with on the George Lopez show, and she lives up there, and she posted some pictures on Facebook today. It looked pretty darn close. People aren't freaking out. They're really the planes are dropping the red stuff. That's kind of cool. So, yeah, hopefully it'll stay away from Burbank and the residential neighborhoods. But it's just crazy because it's literally like right up the hill. It seems like it's 100 yards away, but I know that's an optical illusion. But it's nutty.
Well, when we were having those up in Tennessee around, what is it, Dolly Parton's hometown, and further south in Tennessee, it was just weird because it was like hazy, and it, you know, you just had this smoke hanging everywhere, and we weren't even that close to it. So I imagine your air quality is like somewhere in the tank.
Yeah, I have to imagine it is. And everything has like this yellow, it's like everything's in this like yellow filter. It's like we're on Instagram constantly in a sepia tone filter.
No.
And it's weird. And I'm conditioned as a kid growing up in Ohio, like when the sky goes yellow like that, you're like, ooh, now here comes a tornado.
Exactly. So
my spidey senses don't know which way to tangle.
There
is it
you
a fire?
Go.
Is it an earthquake? Is it a tornado? What are we going to do?
Yeah.
So it's great. I'm glad to be back on the left coast for a little bit.
How about that earthquake over in North Korea?
We can discuss that.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, here's the thing. I really don't care. I don't care.
You don't
Everyone
care?
Is freaking out. I honestly don't. There's nothing we're going to do. It's checkmate. And we've said it before on this very show a couple weeks ago. There's nothing we can do. There's absolutely nothing we can do except for make it seem like it just bugs us.
Well, that's
true. What are your thoughts? I've played out a bunch of scenarios in the old Loftus Party dome over here, and I'm coming up with one solution, and that's just make sure South Korea has some kind of anti-missile system.
That would be good, and I'm still all for my parade strategy. I mean, this guy just shot off a hydrogen bomb. He's going to have a parade to celebrate, and I say we just do a massive regime change at that point.
That'd be funny. That'd be hilarious if they were totally unprepared for the oldest trick in the book.
Yeah. Look, you're all in one spot. Bam! I still think it's effective. Might make China a little mad, though. Might make China a little mad, though. Maybe not the
That's
best
the big
idea.
Problem.
Yeah,
these
I know.
People keep talking about sanctions and sanctions and sanctions. Obviously, they don't work. Obviously, they haven't done anything.
Mm-mm.
Obviously, China's going to get mad if we start flying bombers over there. there's nothing we can do. Now, I think long term, North Korea wants South Korea back, and that's where we draw the line. Mm-hmm. Like, no can do, fellas. That's it.
Yep, not happening. I don't know. Could we just do like the Top Gun thing where we just buzz the parade?
Yeah.
That would make me feel better.
and then China would do something. You just like, I'm just like, all jokes aside, yeah. all we can do now is like act like we don't care. Like, oh well, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think we're pulling that one off because I just watched Fox News was on in the front room while I was making my Southern heresy, and you know, there's big meeting at the White House, and Steve Mnuchin's on TV yammering around. Well, like, obviously, we're not going to tell anybody what we're going to do. Okay,
they have to act like they're doing something. It just makes people feel better. But I mean, literally, I think they go. You got Steve Mnuchin goes into the White House. Everybody else goes into the White House, mm-hmm. and they just sit down and look at each other, and they're like, "Yeah, there's not a lot we can do."
I'm just hoping China lives up to its promise. Like, you do it first, you're in big trouble. You do it first, you're in big trouble. Everybody, just sit down. I think, yeah. You know, I think that was a big deal that China voted for sanctions against North Korea in the UN, and that they said, hey, you don't get to play first. We're not going to support you doing that. And I hope they remain true to that.
That would be awesome. Mm-hmm. That's probably mm-hmm. the only thing we can really do is like, okay, so let's just clarifying here. If they launch on South Korea, we're coming in guns blazing, because mm-hmm. South Korea, they're our best friend. And we've been going to elementary school with those guys since the 50s.
Right.
That's my little buddy right there. Don't go bullying my little buddy just because he's weird and wears glasses.
And prayers for the 17,000 or so U.S. Troops standing on that border, because, you know, it's probably a pretty uncomfortable place to be right now.
My brother was over there. I think he did two.
Yep.
Tours, and he says it's miserable.
Well,
just absolutely miserable.
One of my friend's sons is over there right now, been over there about a month, so.
Oof.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the turning point. My I'm the youngest of five kids, and not my oldest brother, but the next brother above me was going to be career military. And he's like, if they send me back to Korea again, I can't do another trip to Korea. They do that again, I'm out. And he did two tours over there, and he thought he was done. And they're like, hey, looks like you're going back to Korea. He's like, all right, check, please.
No, I'm not. Thank you very much.
I'm done. I don't care for kimchi.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, saw the weirdest thing on social media, this GIF, and it's like some kind of Asian food. I think it's Japanese, and they cut the head off a squid, and then they pour soy sauce on it, and the muscles still contract because of the salt. So, like, there's this moving headless squid on your plate.
I got to tell you, that was one of the most horrifying things I've ever seen. And what culture does that? I know there's another. Like, that's really gross. And they also have another thing where they serve like live food. Now mm-hmm. the squid in the GIF that's making its way around, or the GIF, I never know how to say it, has been decapitated. So
correct.
Its brain is gone. It's just a chemical reaction with the salt and the soy sauce and the mussels. That was horrifying.
But
that was horrifying. That was some Silence of the Lambs crap right there. Like, but who does that?
But who figured it out? I mean, like, who did that? And like, wow, this should be a thing.
I'm going to say something. Now hold on to your chairs, America.
Okay.
The Japanese do some weird shit.
Yeah, they do. But so do the Koreans. My husband went over there to start a manufacturing facility up, and they, oh, we're going to take you to a nice dinner. And for you and I, who hate sushi, right? Like, sushi's bait, right?
Yes.
He goes out to this nice dinner, and you literally pick the thing out of the tub, and they just put it on your plate, and you start eating it alive.
Yeah, no, that doesn't happen.
Just like,
I would be so offended, and this happened. A friend of mine, his best friend, got a job at some plant over in like Thailand, mm-hmm. and was kind of like living. He wanted to save a lot of money, so he was in an apartment and mm-hmm. doing this thing. And evidently it was like great dishonor upon the boss. The boss is like, no, you have to have a big house. You have to have servants. So he like set the guy up. They took him out to this real expensive dinner to like show all the workers, here's how successful this guy is. It was just like horrifying, just horrifying. Like, I'm sorry. It's another culture. I'm not even going to try.
No.
The Japanese, they're wacky. We're going to eat this octopus live. Look, it's fighting you as it struggles to, that's just cruel. It's just cruel to me.
Well, now, you know, we have a few southern traditions like a low country boil and a few traditions in the northeast where we pop things that are alive into boiling water, right? Like lobster. But it's not still moving when you eat it.
Yeah. I don't even like the whole lobster thing. I mean, I know how the process is done. I know that we like, you know, you kill cows to eat them. I just don't want to see it.
Nope.
I don't want to see it.
Nope.
Just something like desperately trying to live for my enjoyment is just seems gross. And then like here's another, like the kimchi.
Yeah.
That's another like super like I always like as a comic, I always used to toy around with this idea of like who was the first person who did X, Y, or Z, right? Like who was the first person to drink milk from a cow? That's probably like two cavemen, you know, sitting around like I'm going to go up to that creature and start sucking on that thing. And whatever comes out, I'm going to drink it. Like,
right?
Oh, no, you won't. Yeah, I will, Frog. I'm a crazy man. and then he's like, ooh. In reality, it was probably somebody like just desperate to survive.
Right.
But like kimchi, it's like cabbage and God knows what else.
Mm-hmm.
And you bury it
in
a clay pot.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then you dig it up like a squirrel. A couple months later.
Yuck.
And you know, that was born out of somebody like, I'm going to hide this food here because our village is about to get raided. And then they survive and they're like, man, I know I had some food left around here. That was a long time ago. I'm going to dig it up. I'm so hungry. Huh. I'm going to eat this. And if it doesn't kill me, I'm going to claim it's a delicacy. Like all of the delicacies are based on lies. They're all based on lies. Like French fruit food, you know, like they're known for their cream sauces and their this and that. That was to disguise the taste of rotting meat. That's why.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, they couldn't keep meat. If you ran out of salt, you couldn't keep the meat fresh. So you'd be like, okay, this is really, really iffy. And I need to put some really heavy sauce on this to make it.
Was that the origination of like Italian tomato sauce too?
No, I think tomato sauce was just tomato sauce, I think, is honest.
Okay.
I think that's an honest sauce. I think somebody like you pick a tomato, you eat it. You're like, okay, that's delicious. Ooh, I wonder if I cut it up into little pieces. Ooh, that's good. Hey, I wonder if I even smashed it. So that seems like it's an honest thing.
An honest sauce.
I don't trust. Yes. And like cheese. We all know cheese is like somebody like grabbed a bunch of milk and they're like, I'm going to hold on to this and try to. I'll drink this later. And it just went really, really wrong. And they're like, okay, that's nasty. I wonder if I threw a bunch of salt on it, I wouldn't take. And that's how you got cheese. This is fun. The history of fake foods.
Fake foods? Well, you know our we destroyed sushi for like 20 minutes on one podcast, so.
It's the worst. I tell you, friends of mine, I have a friend who helps out like extreme victims of poverty in Thailand. And he goes over there and he's like, what we think of as like Chinese food and Thai food over here is insanely different from what they're eating. They're literally, and I guess in North Korea, it's really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, like. There's no more frogs. They're eating the bugs. It's like they are struggling. But got a nuke. They got a hydrogen bomb.
That makes it all worth it or something. Yeah, no, when my sister was in China, they sell grasshoppers on a stick and yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like street food over there is really sketchy.
Yeah. Street food everywhere else is really sketchy. Like America, we have the best street food. You go to New York, you get a pretzel, you're going to survive. You go to New York or Chicago, you get a hot dog, you're going to survive.
Right.
But I tell you, I had friends that I was working with on this other TV show about India and these were all, you know, people of Indian descent, and their parents from India would go back to visit, and they have, like, every culture has a version of the donut. There's, like, this Indian, like, donut thing. It's like a ball of dough, but it's filled with flavored water or something. And this, yeah, this guy's mom went back to India, and she's like, ooh, I'm going to get a bleep blorp, or whatever the hell they're called. And she was in the hospital for days.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you have to build up a tolerance.
Speaking of donuts, Krispy Kreme has a limited edition Reese's peanut butter donut. We got a couple. They're all right.
Really?
Yeah. I think it would be better warm. But yeah, no, they got the peanut, they nailed the peanut butter flavor. Yep, they did.
A Reese's peanut butter donut.
Yeah, if you like a Krispy Kreme, I strongly suggest you try one.
I grew up with Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, see, I never had one till I moved south. So
yeah, Krispy Kreme to me was always, that was a donut. That was like a regular donut. And I never understood, like, when they opened up Krispy Kremes in LA, it was on the news.
Yeah.
It was on the news. I'm like, wow, you people, you poor folks. Now, do you have Dunkin' Donuts down there?
Yes, we do. We do have Dunkin' Donuts as well.
Best. Yep. Their coffee. I'm a big fan of the Dunkin' Donut coffee.
See, I'm just I just make my coffee at home. I don't.
Are you
really
like one of those grind your own bean people?
I have done that, yes, but normally I buy the ground coffee, and I have this reusable little thing for my Keurig, and I put a little scoop in there, and I make it one cup at a time.
Oh, okay. Well, that's normal.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to do some really, you know, like, I buy the beans, and then I roast them in my oven, and then I hand crank them, and I was going to be so, first of all, shocked, and then second, there was going to be, like, a tsunami of me mocking you.
Yeah, no. I bought whole bean by accident, so I've had to grind it up in the food processor, but I don't do it on purpose.
Yeah, I used to be that guy. In college, I was that guy. You know, I get the beans, and then I had my little coffee grinder thing, and then I would do the French press and blah, blah, blah. What a waste.
Yeah, no, the French press does crack me up.
I mean, it's okay. It just seems like it's a long way to go. That's how they would serve it in South Africa, which makes a lot of sense. They would just give you like a pot of coffee for the table, and you could just like let it sit there. And anyway, I want to get back to the North Korea thing, because it was pretty funny last night. It was movie night over here. We watched Guardians of the Galaxy 2 again. I want to get back to that later.
Oh, love that.
I'm crawling into bed. Breaking news on Fox. An earthquake's been detected in North Korea. They think it's a nuke. This would have to be a hydrogen bomb. And the poor guy on Fox News, I should have written down his name. He's like the overnight guy on Fox. Mm-hmm. It's the middle of the night. He's all by himself. He's got no one to throw it to. He's got zero help. He's just this dude, this like blonde overnight guy who's just supposed to, you know, blah, blah, blah. And now it is going down. And he's like, he was lucky to get a couple people on the phone. And you could tell he was like super relieved. And he's like, so what does this mean? And it really, no one was adding anything to the discussion. And this guy was just floundering for like an hour. It was the newscaster's nightmare.
No kidding. You're surprised he actually raised anybody on the phone, I guess.
Yeah.
Was it like the third string people, like no big names or anything?
I forget who he had on the phone, but he didn't want the guy to leave. He's like, hang on. We're going to come back to you. If you're just joining us, there was an earthquake in North Korea. They think it's a hydrogen bomb. North Korea has been sanctioned by this government, and looks like they've got a nuke joining me on the line.
Looks like they just gave us the big middle finger.
Yeah. Just treading water.
And then I heard something great today. Like we have like airplanes that function like dogs. They're called sniffers.
Yeah.
And so after North Korea does something like this, we send these planes over to detect any radioactive material, and they literally call them sniffers, like canines, you know, sniffing for drugs or whatever. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Never heard that before. So, yeah.
Well, wasn't it? They think it was like an underground test, so I don't know what a... Because any kind of spy plane would have to be up super high.
I don't know. They said they were taken off, so I imagine even with an underground test, something would get in the atmosphere. Just a guess, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, so we should touch base with the song. Nazi, 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 Russia, 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 North Korea, Nazi, North Korea, boom. We're almost at the end of the first refrain, and then soon we'll go back to Russia, Russia, Russia.
Okay. Did you hear this gobbledygook this week? And I got to dig into it and I got to read it. Did you hear this stuff about Comey and how he decided to make that speech before the FBI's investigation into Hillary Clinton was even finished?
I heard it and you heard it. However, the rest of America hasn't heard it.
I know. It was like nothing in the news cycle. Hillary Clinton's investigation wasn't even over and Comey exonerated her. And then after the little tarmac meeting, the Loretta Lynch there said, okay, yeah, I'll just go along with you, Comey. And then you have Bob Menendez, a Democratic senator, just doing some of the shadiest stuff in the world. Mainstream media doesn't touch either one of them.
What did Menendez do?
Menendez is on trial for bribery because apparently he had this ophthalmologist friend down in Florida that liked and he liked to bring women from overseas, so he would like send Menendez on vacation, and then Menendez would interfere in the visa process to get his little chicky doos over here, and and like interceded on behalf of like Medicaid fraud and all this other stuff, and used to like fly around on this guy's private plane. If this was a Republican, it would be nonstop in the news cycle, and they don't even talk about it. Don't even talk about it.
I always remember that Republican guy from, I think it was from Illinois. And he repainted his office in D.C. to look like some BBC television show. Mm-hmm. It probably cost $300, but they're like, where'd you get the money to pay for that? And he's like, oh, I quit.
Yeah. Representative Schiff. Was it Schiff?
I don't know. It was some young guy.
He's the one that used to put all the beefcake pictures on Instagram, too. Like, he was very proud of his physique. He was a little odd.
Yeah, I think he got out because there was something else coming down the pike. However, it's just like the Democrats can always go with these huge scandals, like Donna Brazile. I'm still not over that one. Donna Brazile giving debate questions to Hillary, like, and they're like, yeah, she's a good lady. We still like her. She's awesome.
The Democrats will excuse anything inside their own party. I mean, literally anything. You know, I know you say Bill Clinton can come to the barbecue, but that is one shady dude.
Yeah. It's like Anthony Weiner. They were ready to take him back after scandal number one, right?
Oh,
he's busted sending Weiner pictures everywhere. And then he's like, you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to run for mayor in New York. And they're like, is he ready for a comeback? I think he is. Like, no, there's more Weiner pictures out there. He's not ready.
And they only cut him loose because he started sending those pictures to a kid.
Yeah.
That's what it took. I was like, are you serious?
So once again, the Democrats can close ranks and do everything as a team, and hundreds of millions of dollars are missing and blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, you've got Paul Ryan doing some real shadiness with the whole DACA. The whole Dreamers bit.
To me, this is so easy. This is so easy.
Okay, what do you got?
To make everybody happy. Okay, so you got some kids who've been raised here. They got a work permit. Don't ever make them citizens. Just let them work. Let them work legally. To send them back to their home country when they've been here since they were like two, through no fault of their own. I have a hard time with that. Just don't do it anymore. No more program, but don't beat these kids over the head.
So I think you and I are on the same page here. Just let it expire.
Just let it expire. It was unconstitutional. Make Congress write the law. That's what they're supposed to do.
So that's the solution that's the same conclusion I came to as well. Mm-hmm. But what's up with Paul Ryan, who like a year ago was on Hannity going, it's unconstitutional. It's this, it's that. It has to be stopped. And then now, 2 days ago, he's like, yeah, I don't know about this, the Dreamer thing.
I've read his full comments, and if you read the full comments, it's exactly what you and I said. He was talking about current people in the program and says Congress should deal with the issue. He wants a congressional solution, something that we can actually have as a law. But he was talking about the current population, and they made it sound like he was no longer in opposition to the program. That's not at all how I read his full comments.
All righty. See, that's how you get down to the real happening.
Mm-hmm.
You did a crazy thing like reading the full comments. I'm a scanner. I'm a headline, first couple paragraphs kind of guy.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with Paul Ryan on a lot of things, but I think in some ways they're positioning him to be Trump's foil, and they're using selective comments that he makes and not the full meaning of what he said, and I'm not going to let him get away with that either. I mean, I'm not a huge fan. I'm not, you know, other than maybe I wasn't a big fan of – I'm a big fan of tax reform. I wasn't a big fan of the way he was doing it. But, you know, the selective quoting where he was actually saying exactly what I just said about Dreamers, you know, really kind of irritates me a little bit.
Do you think that's just to try to make – people in America think that like this, they're completely dysfunctional, and the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing.
Oh yeah,
didn't that just happen with General Mad Dog Whatch-is-Whatch when Trump was like, hey, all options are on the table. You know, I'm not against military, and then the general was like, hey, we still have diplomatic solutions. They tried to make it look like he was saying something he wasn't, but evidently they're all on the same page.
No, and they're both correct. All solutions are on the table. They're considering everything. There's still diplomatic things left. And, you know, despite the fact you call him Mad Dog, he's not really – I don't see him going in there like, you know, planes blazing just because he can.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think yes, that they do a lot of things with selective quoting like that to try to make it look like the administration itself and the GOP that's in D.C. is much more adversarial than it actually is.
Yeah. Okay, I want to get to some good news, some awesomeness. Melania Trump wearing the stilettos again, wearing the high heels again. I just love this lady more and more with each passing day.
Can I just say, like, you want to talk about beclowning yourself and saying that Melania Trump wearing stilettos onto the plane makes some kind of comment about what she thinks about the people devastated by a hurricane? Like, how far do you have to reach? How far?
I thought she looked fabulous.
She always looks fabulous.
I mean, it was like amazingly fabulous. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, her shoes. What are those shoes saying? Well, that's a nuke for feminists, you know. And then having a female reporter going after her, like, seriously, that's what I thought feminism was. You can be super smart and super hot. Everyone's an individual.
Did you see the picture of the Vogue fashion writer that actually started the whole thing?
I can't believe that's real.
It's real.
I cannot believe that lady who looks
it's real
with the crazy lips.
Mm-hmm. And the bright orange hair. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she's a Vogue fashion editor, fashion writer.
That's like something out of a Monty Python. It literally is.
Somebody said it looked like Joy Behar and a dump truck had had a baby.
I think it's worse than that. It's
oh God!
The haircut. I've seen the Laurel and Hardy comparisons, mm-hmm. and that's really what it looks like.
Yep.
I honestly wanted that to be a joke. I don't want to think that there's really like. Did you ever see Terry Gilliam's movie called Brazil?
No.
It was like his version of Orwell's 1984.
Okay.
And Catherine Helmand was in it from the show Soap, and she was always undergoing these facelifts, and so her face mm-hmm. just looked bizarre, and it had that kind of
pinched
look. And like in the Hunger Games, they had that really weird sense of fashion, and like, ooh, this mm-hmm. will be what fashion looks like in this dystopian future.
Right.
That's what that lady from Vogue looks like.
Uh-huh.
She looks like something out of Brazil.
Yeah, no, it was not a good look. But, you know, I have to say that all the coverage I saw, and again, it's mostly the video coverage has been from Fox. I mean, Melania Trump and Donald Trump are in soup kitchens feeding people. They're going around to the devastated areas. I mean, last I recall, when Hurricane Sandy hit, it took like Obama 10 days to get there, and then he met with the governor.
Yeah, and that I was watching that live yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, when Trump was over there, and that was just great to watch. That was just wonderful to watch because it really reminds you, don't believe the narrative that most media outlets are pimping.
Mm-hmm.
These people couldn't wait to get close to the president, and like, and I'm glad he waited a couple of days. And I'll even let Obama off the hook for that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've got to vet all those people,
right?
Like, you're in a refugee center in some stadium in a flood ravaged part of town,
mm-hmm.
and like, all right, you got to find everybody who's got a gun, who's licensed, who's this. What? Oh my gosh, what a nightmare! I mean, talk about disruptive. But it was just great to watch all these people just run up to Trump and try to grab a selfie, and everybody's smiling and shaking hands. It just really, it was wonderful to watch. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, and you know, the mainstream media, oh, he just went down there and like patted himself on the back because he won Texas, and it's like, no, that's not what he did. That's not what he did. You know, the media
and
at this point.
If you ever, and I was saying this to the wife yesterday, if you ever wanted a guy in charge when there was a hurricane and damage to houses and buildings on this epic scale, you want Donald Trump in there. That guy knows how to build.
Mm-hmm.
Like he'll literally like look at the receipts and like, seriously, you guys paid this much for drywall? Are you crazy? No, go back to Home Depot and tell them. I mean, it's the best.
Well,
he is a construction guy in charge of this. It's going to be great.
Well, and I want to pat Governor Abbott on the back too. I think he did a very good job, and certainly all the first responders. I mean, just some incredible pictures from down there of people doing the right thing and helping each other out. You know, when something like that happens, I'm always just amazed to see that kind of good news. I mean, good news is Americans helping other Americans, regardless of color, creed, or politics, and I think we saw a lot of that.
Oh my goodness! It was the best. It literally was, and it's horrible that it takes. It's like the movie Independence Day. Like everybody fights against each other until you have a common enemy, and then everybody, you know, comes together and really behaves as Americans behave. You know, it's like after 9/11, everybody comes together. It's after mm-hmm. any big event like this. I especially enjoyed like the Cajun Navy and the people with the monster trucks that were rescuing the army vehicles. That was the best.
Mm-hmm.
Hillbillies pulling army trucks out of the flood. That was the best.
And this is what I love about Trump, right? He's from New York. He just talks shit. Everybody is so worried, like, oh, our president's crazy. No, he's from New York. He's like, Korea, what are you gonna do? Korea, you wanna do that shit? You wanna launch some shit? Fire and fury on your ass. Fire. I will launch so many nukes. Are you going to do it? No, I'm just talking. I'm not going to fucking do any nukes. It's fantastic. And let North Korea launch a few. I'm really not worried about it. Because they're made in Korea. Right? You know it's not going to go where they want it to go. Like, oh, you've done it this time, America. Launch! Oh, shit. Where's that one going? Some of these.
When I was getting my apartment in Long Island, I was going down by this area called Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Really beautiful, really cool.
Yep.
The nightlife is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah. But you would see all these people who were still in the process of rebuilding after Hurricane Sandy.
Yep.
Or Tropical Storm Sandy, whatever. And they were raising their houses up, you
mm-hmm.
know, all the houses. And I like seeing that when people are like, okay, I've learned my lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to rebuild. And this next one is going to be 15 feet up off the ground. You're
right.
Like, oh, good for you. I saw the wife and I are watching the news yesterday. This woman and her husband, and they had a bunch of like foster kids, and they'd adopted children with Down syndrome, and they were all – they're already back in their house, you know, starting to tear out the sheetrock, do the whole nine yards. And you're like, wow, God bless these people. They've got their hands full with these kids with special needs. Mm-hmm. Then the cameraman goes outside and their house was already up 15 feet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they had, yeah. And it was just shocking. Like, wow, they had flood damage, but it's not like their house was just like sitting there on the ground like a bunch of morons. So that's a bunch of water.
They said the water that hit Houston would have taken 3 years to go over Niagara Falls, and Niagara Falls dumps 75,000 gallons a second or something like that.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
And they also, I saw another comparison that if that hurricane had hit Louisiana, New Orleans would have literally been gone. Like,
yes.
Yeah, the lake would have gone straight to the Gulf, and it would have literally been gone.
We said it on the show, what was it, last week, two mm-hmm. weeks ago? I used to do it in my stand-up, that the city is doomed. Mm-hmm. It's doomed. It is a miracle that it's still part of the United States. And it'll probably happen.
Well, now we got Hurricane Irma? It's supposed to hit the Caribbean by like Wednesday or Thursday?
We will see. It seems like we had a big long patch with no hurricanes and now mm-hmm. we're going to have them again. I'm definitely not on the global warming train.
No, 2001 to 2005 there were a ton of them, and then we took a nice long break where there weren't really serious storms, and now it looks like we're going to have a couple more years maybe of some more serious ones.
Yeah, yes.
Everything goes in a pattern, right? It's called weather. It's been doing this for hundreds of years.
Hundreds, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions, if not billions.
You know who tried to bash President Trump for his response, don't you?
Who?
Chelsea Clinton.
Oh, my gosh. What did she say now?
Well, President Trump said something in his typical style. As tough as this was, the response has been a wonderful thing, I think, for the country to watch. So he was commending the Texans and the people affected for their response and everybody jumping in to help, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Chelsea Clinton quote tweets it, "People lost their lives, loved ones, homes, beloved pets. Many thousands of people faced uncertain future, but this is our president on Harvey." I just reminded her about Haiti and walked away.
I'm done with, and I did this on the flip side. I'm done with the half quote. Mm-hmm. I'm done with taking things out of context. It really doesn't. And I was talking about this yesterday. It's like, and it's been from Jump Street mm-hmm. With Trump, from like when he announced and he came down the escalator. And he's like, you know, we're going to do something about the border. Mexico's not sending their best people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are criminals. A lot of them are drug dealers. They're rapists. Some of them are good people, but they're not sending their best. But they took out that little piece, they're rapists. And from moment one, and that's stuck. I mean, everyone, oh, okay, this guy's a racist. He said all Mexicans are rapists. And it's just I'm tired of it. It's boring. And it drives me crazy. And it drives me crazy when people on the right do it. When mm-hmm. when people are like, "Ooh, Madonna wants to blow up the White House." Not even close. Not even close to what she said.
Yep. And it's all to score political graft, which just makes me nuts. And that's why I went and read what Paul Ryan actually said.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't believe all of a sudden he's like, oh, yeah, DACA's great. No, DACA's unconstitutional. We all thought it was unconstitutional. We've got to deal with these kids that are affected, and then we have to figure out a congressional solution. And
a little something I like to call the no mas bill.
The no mas bill. No mas. Yeah. Well, I'm literally gobsmacked by the number of states and cities that are passing new laws that say their law enforcement can't, you know, support ICE. They can't, you know, honor ICE detainers. And, you know, reading a story out of, it was either Washington or Oregon. I think it was Oregon today. Some guy who's been deported 12 times gets arrested. ICE gives them a detainer. They don't honor it. 24 hours, the guy's back on the street, raped a 67-year-old girl and attacked a 36-year-old.
As the victim, can't you sue? You have to sue them at that point.
I don't know what you do, but I mean, I'm sitting here. Who is Sanctuary City giving sanctuary to? In this case, it's a career criminal. I mean, he had a rap sheet that went well beyond that, in addition to 12 deportations. 12.
It sounds so heartless and so cruel. And I honestly, like, Tucker Carlson is the only guy that I see ever talking about this with any kind of semblance of common sense.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to protect American citizens first.
Yep.
And that's your duty. And when you go out of your way, like a guy like you're talking about, to go, you know what, let's not deport him. Let's put him back on the street. You're knowingly putting the citizens of your town in harm's way and mm-hmm. at risk.
Yep.
I would sue. I would sue like crazy. It's not going to help. You know, the sleepless nights and the terror and the mental anguish, and God help those people that were victims of this douche. But yeah, I would sue everybody.
Well, I mean, you just had Denver, you know, put a new I don't know, is it a law at the city level, a new process through their city council where they won't honor ICE's or ICE detainers. You would have to have a warrant. So ICE has to go before this person is released, right, on the bail system or whatever else. You have to present the local police with a warrant for that person, or no dice. Who else has done it? I mean, just city upon city upon city. And now California has something in the assembly to make it a sanctuary state, to say statewide you can't have that level of cooperation.
I think California is doing a lot worse than people think.
What do you mean?
I think this state is literally like hanging on by nubs, that they just don't have the money to continue to function.
Right.
Because I come back every once in a while. It's, you look at stuff like the streets. Mm-hmm. The streets are not in good shape. And then I live by a hunk of the LA River. And they have to keep that thing debris. It's like a giant gutter, pretty much, except for one little section where they've let it become a river again, where they can because of the geography. Anyway, I've lived by this hunk of the LA River forever and ever. And every few months, the city of Los Angeles used to send cleanup crews through there. They'd wait mm-hmm. till it was dried up, and then they would get the sticks and the leaves and the debris and all this stuff out of there, and they'd kind of clean it up. I was down there walking my dog yesterday, and there are little islands springing up in the middle of this thing.
Islands of what?
Growth. There's these reeds that are growing. There's a little bit of water still in there. There's reeds growing. There's bushes growing.
Wow.
Tall grasses. Yeah. Yeah, they've definitely put maintaining the streets and keeping the LA River debris clean way on the back burner, because I just don't think they can afford to do it. I would love to see the books on LA.
Oh yeah. I mean, they've gotten busted for, you know, payments to illegal aliens and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah. That whole thing, I need to talk to Ann Coulter again about that, because that's that other myth that they're like, oh, illegals come over here and then they get jobs, and then what they spend and the sales tax is such a boon, and like, wait a minute. They're taking way more from the system than they're getting back in sales tax.
Well, and if you look at the Earned Income Tax Credit, which is the biggest redistribution program we have in the United States, right?
Yeah,
the abuse of that program and fraud at that program stands at somewhere close to 30%, and a significant portion of it is illegal immigrants.
Shoo-wee.
Mm-hmm. So.
Oh man! But here's a little bit of good news. Trump was tweeting a bunch of stuff the other night, but like, and I'm going to get this wrong, so I apologize. There's some like manufacturing in this country. We're making more stuff now than we have since like 2010.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 7-year high. Like,
right?
I that just makes me feel good that we can start making things in this country again. I just don't know how people expect to survive and have any kind of – without businesses opening up factories and having people work and do, like – It makes me feel good. I have a little bit of optimism about the future of the country.
We have to make stuff. We can't just do stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, the U.S. has been on track for a couple years because the cost of living in China and Chinese wages have come up so high from where they were 10, 15 years ago that they've eaten all of the productivity savings. So you used to get some advantage paying lower wages over in China. That advantage has basically disappeared because you get better productivity here in the United States that it even though you're paying a higher wage, it evens out. So the fact that the Chinese folks are making more money is great for us, and we hope they continue to make more money because it definitely has encouraged some people like GE and a couple other folks to bring production back, which is very good news.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I think there's a huge shift coming with like colleges and higher learning and like vocational skills mm-hmm. and craftsmen, that stuff. Mike Rowe, that he's getting a lot of traction. He's getting a lot of traction, and I couldn't be happier for him
because he makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've had a little bit of crush on Mike Rowe in this house since he did the show Dirty Jobs, but I love reading his Facebook posts, and I'm forgetting the name of the initiative he just started recently, but it's recognizing people who have given back to their communities. So he's like going around and surprising people that have done significant work in their communities to make their communities a better place to live.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the initiative, but I mean, I was reading about it, and it's just awesome. It's just awesome.
Well, I guess it's capitalism. It's supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
But as like carpenters and electricians mm-hmm. and those trade jobs, as less people are in there, the ones that exist will be able to charge more.
Right.
So It'll have to even out because people just get sick and tired of like, are you telling me I have to pay my electrician $150 an hour? Well, you do because there's only two of them left in the state.
Exactly. And a lot of them are retiring. You know,
yeah.
I have no problem with, you know, one of my kids going into a technical trade. None.
Yeah.
I think it's be your own boss.
Be your own boss.
Mm-hmm.
Well, holy smoke. This is I got a geek out here for a minute. Watched Guardians of the Galaxy 2 last night, fully expecting just to bawl my eyes out. Because like all the tears I had to choke back.
in the movie theater.
In the movie theater. I'm like, here we go. I'll just be able to completely just unleash. I warned my kids. I'm like, mm-hmm. you're gonna see Dad just lose it. I watched it. It did not hit me at all.
Really?
It was the weirdest thing.
Maybe just because you expected it?
Maybe. But I'm like, yep, he's gone. Yep, Mary Poppins. Yep, there's that guy. Yep.
The first time you watched it, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all, was like the best line in a movie ever.
Oh, my goodness. And like, what's wrong with me that it didn't, like, it had like zero, it was like, it was like fun to watch. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but man, oh man, like it had zero emotional punch.
That's just bizarre.
It is bizarre.
Yeah,
it is bizarre.
When a movie hits me like that, and that one kind of did for different reasons, it never doesn't hit me like that.
I could watch Bambi right now,
mm-hmm.
or Old Yeller, or The Yearling,
yep.
and I'd be crying my eyes out.
Yep.
I don't know. It's really strange. Well, I need to see somebody about it.
Yeah, I finished watching The Defenders.
I have not seen it.
I'm not doing any spoilers.
Let me ask you this.
Not doing any spoilers.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give it?
I would probably, like, the last two episodes are really good.
Okay.
It picks up. You know, my low rating at like a 6 is really just due to the fact that I cannot stand the Iron Fist.
Yeah.
You know what he is?
What is he?
He is the Captain Kirk of the Defenders. Like, his angsty speech with lots of pauses, I just want to throw something at the TV.
Okay, so you're not throwing shade on Bill Shatner and Captain Kirk. You're saying you don't like his cadence, the way he speaks?
I never liked Captain Kirk's cadence, and no, I don't like it in the Iron Fist either.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to watch the rest of it and look for that. I love the way Bill Shatner speaks. I love it.
It's him. It's his
crazy
character.
Crazy pauses and over the top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
William Shatner. But not only God bless his heart.
Not only that, but William Shatner, when he has the crazy pauses, he's also over the top angsty a little bit. It's the angst and pauses with the Iron Fist that made me go, ugh.
Wow, I didn't see that at all. I'm going to have to look for the similarities. I love
it. Got worse towards the end. It got worse towards the end.
Ay.
And I still love Jessica Jones. Still love Luke Cage. Still love Daredevil. I like all three of those characters.
I like Daredevil. I like Elektra. I think that's a great story.
Mm-hmm.
The Luke Cage, meh, yawn. I like Rosario Dawson, who plays Luke Cage's love interest. Mm-hmm. She's all right, but I'm just not into the whole Defenders. I'm literally just not into it. I'll watch it because I feel like I should. However, if I had to pick, I wouldn't go, ooh, I gotta watch this. We'll see. Maybe they'll win me over in the last four.
But, like, you know how if you're watching Netflix, like, at the end when they roll the credits and stuff, you usually just, like, roll through it to hit the next episode? There is, in one of them, and I'm not giving anything away, a preview of The Punisher, so watch for that.
That dude's great.
That dude is awesome. They couldn't have cast that role any better if they tried.
They crushed it. They crushed it.
I am so excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that guy's fantastic.
I'm pretty sure that premieres the week of my birthday, so yay.
Ooh, watch out now.
Mm-hmm.
In other total geek news, and I'm like running out of time to do all these things that I want to do. But the sequel to one of my favorite video games of all time comes out Tuesday night.
Destiny 2.
Destiny 2.
Yes, we have a pre-sale here too.
I am pretty darn excited.
Mm-hmm.
I am ready for this thing to happen. They just did a live action trailer for the game. Came out 2 days ago. I tweeted it out on the Loftus Party. It was fantastic.
Yeah,
it was live action. It looked like a movie.
Do you think that means it's going to be a movie?
Oh no! But they did promise. One of the few criticisms of the first Destiny game was there's not enough story.
Mm-hmm.
So they promised to do a bunch more of that. I always worry because. Usually when you have they make little tweaks in the game, like, oh, that button that you used to press to do a jump is now, if you press it twice, it's going to do this other thing. It's like they usually mess up with the controls. And that's what has me nervous, because the game was so the ergonomics of it were good. It was it was a really, really good operating system. So I just hope they haven't messed with that.
So are the kids excited, too? Is that a game that they liked?
Yes, we're very excited in this household about Destiny 2 and the other one that's coming out, but it doesn't come out till like November. Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Ah,
well, that's a good game.
You know my kid games now, and I just call you for like birthdays and Christmas. What game do I need to buy? Because I have no clue. None.
Pre-order Star Wars Battlefront 2. That one's going to be. Epic.
It's going to be everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I guess that was the little geek out on that. I will have played it by the next podcast. So
okay.
I will let you know. Kids got thrown out of school for wearing Trump t-shirts.
No, they didn't get thrown out of school. They were told to go out in the hall and turn their t-shirts inside out because having Trump on your t-shirt was akin to wearing a swastika.
All right, so I want that teacher suspended without pay. That's what I want.
Yeah, I mean, some smart kid in the class, you got to give these kids credit, took out his phone and starts, like, taping his teacher, doing it to these two other boys. And then he clarifies. I mean, this is a kid in high school. I want to hug him. So you're telling them they have to go turn their shirts inside out because Trump is, like, wearing a swastika? And she
that
said,
little kid is a journalist, and it was a setup. It had to have been a setup.
I don't
it was good.
That
they got it on tape.
I don't know that it was necessarily a setup, but I mean, he was just like dumbfounded. This kid was like literally dumbfounded that his teacher was doing this.
When I say a setup, I think that teacher had done something in the past.
Oh,
so these kids knew, mm-hmm. like, hey, both of you guys come in here tomorrow wearing Trump t-shirts. I'll be sitting back here with my phone, and then when she tells you to do this, I'm gonna ask her a question so everybody knows exactly what we just witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
I think those kids are super smart for doing that too.
So do I. I mean, to me, that's just ridiculous. It's almost as ridiculous as the meltdown over the L'Oreal model today. I really don't care. I really don't. I'm over it.
What happened with the L'Oreal model?
Well, apparently the first African-American transgender model for L'Oreal got canned because she penned some kind of rant on her Facebook page that basically said all white people were racist. She then came back and said, I was talking about institutional racism, but it was a pretty ugly rant.
Ha ha.
And so L'Oreal said, see ya. We don't want to alienate any of our customers. And then the feminists are attacking Taylor Swift because she won't get political, which I think is the smartest thing she's ever going to do. That's a good business person. Why would I alienate half my audience? I'm not stupid. It's just I'm so sick of the Nazi swastika this, da-da-da-da-da. Like literally, the number of white supremacists in this country is like 12.
It is. It's fun to watch, and it's fun to watch people wake up and come to the realization. However, like, yeah, the Taylor Swift thing, I tweeted that out yesterday. It's fantastic. You know what? I have other things to worry about. I have bigger things to worry about. I know you guys are not going to like that. I'm not going to take a political stance, but I'm going to go do my thing.
Good for her. Yay.
Absolutely.
She makes music, and she does it pretty well. And she's cute as a button. Leave her alone.
Yeah. And then
leave
you've
her
got
alone.
Mark Ruffalo, who I think the guy thinks he's a senator or something. It's just hilarious.
Just laughed.
Watching him at his little marches, like, what are you doing, guy? What are you doing?
I just said 30 paid protesters and the Hulk. Color me unimpressed.
Yeah.
Like, we're going on a 10-day march from Charlottesville to D.C., which if you look at Google Maps, for anybody who can walk at a normal clip, should take you 4 days if you're going to take time to sleep. And literally, nobody is taking 10 days off their out of work to go do this. It's literally people being paid to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just – color me unimpressed. Seriously.
Me three.
And then now you've got this whole thing going on in Berkeley again, and Ben Shapiro's going to be there, I think, September 14th. He's had to pay the city. The group that's hosting him has had to pay campus.
It was like
$15,000 for security. You know who's not a Nazi? You know who's not a white supremacist? That would be Ben Shapiro.
As I was saying it on the vlog mm-hmm. last week, it's like Ben Shapiro is hate speech?
Well, he's hate speech because he's so good at turning that liberal narrative, and you can't argue with him. I mean, he can pull facts that, you know, just boom, out of his head and quote them and just destroy a liberal narrative. And he's done it at every Politicon for the last 3 years. They put him against somebody, and he just destroys them. And that's why they don't like him.
And exactly. And he does it all with a smile on his face, and it's not like an evil
–
it's not coming from a – yeah,
well,
but when Ben Shapiro – Shapiro is considered hate speech, you've got a problem.
Yeah. I mean, he used to be kind of a punk about it, but his timing and his sense of humor have gotten a lot better over the last several years. Like when you watched him get decked by that transgender on Jerry Springer or something, he was being a jerk. I mean, he was being an outright jerk.
Well, everybody grows up. Everybody grows up.
Yeah,
like
no.
Tucker Carlson is so much better now
mm-hmm.
than he was on Crossfire.
Yeah, no. And you know, Tucker, they love captioning Tucker's monologues where he has the three bars, the three major points of what he's going to talk about.
Yeah.
They love capturing those and just putting those up instead of the entire transcript of what Tucker said, because they don't always do the best job of capturing the right things in those bars. But
yeah, that's a fun thing. I got to learn how to do memes.
Memes?
Yeah.
Oh, do you download Mematic?
Well, it's I saw one the other day. Well, first of all, like the people who can do that, they can take a screen. They mm-hmm. take a screen grab of Tucker Carlson, and then they take out what the actual bullet points are, and then they right. put in their own stuff. Those can get pretty funny. But I tell you what, go to the Loftus Party on Twitter and go to my liked tweets. And there's this dude. I'm going to try to find it right now while we're on the air. There is a dude named da 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 da. It's coming. T. Beckett Adams.
Oh yeah, T. Beckett Adams. He's awesome.
Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. he found this little gif of a dude dressed up as an old woman wearing some kind of helmet and carrying two bags of groceries, like. Dancing through this shallow lake, and he put this hip hop music behind it. It is my favorite thing, and it's been my favorite thing now for about 4 days.
Yeah,
I just can't stop watching. I can't stop watching it.
I was that.
It's the funniest thing ever, and I'm like, I have to learn how to create these.
I was that way with that North Korean march gif I sent to you, set to the Bee Gees.
That was a good one too.
And the, oh my God, that one you posted on Facebook with the guys with the G-strings on their head making fun of Antifa.
That was great. There's a good one. There's a good one up on our Facebook right now mm-hmm. of this bluegrass band covering Thunderstruck by AC/DC. And this kid, go to that, you guys, and check out the kid on the banjo. Holy right? smoke. His fingers are blazing, and it actually works as a song. It works as mm-hmm. a bluegrass cover of Thunder. Okay, so I believe that is our show for
that
this
is
week.
Our
We've
show.
Covered everything. Everybody have a great Labor Day weekend. Oh my gosh, Michael Topias in the real world, Liberty Gimlet. There's crazy rules that people have to live by, but in Michaeltopia, there's a different set of rules, and everything works so much better. Do you guys have a Michaeltopia?
I actually talked about my Michaeltopia earlier, and that was my Southern heresy, so yeah. I'm a
in
little thin on Michaeltopias today.
In Michaeltopia, you're not allowed to make mac and cheese with zucchini noodles.
Okay.
That's just I'm sorry. That's you have to report to a re-education camp.
What about sweet potato noodles?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say you can do that.
All right.
The gluten-free thing's got to be tough. There is a pizza place in Long Island, however. One of the writers on the show I'm working on has a gluten thing, and he gets this gluten-free pizza, and I'm like, this has got to be horrible. But there's this pizza place in Long Island, and their gluten-free pizza. It's amazing.
Really?
It's amazing. I don't know how they do it. It's like magic. It is like magic.
Anything around here is just crap on a cracker if it's gluten-free. I mean, it's literally like a cracker. Ugh.
That's how good the pizza is. That's how good the pizza is in New York. Their gluten-free pizza is better than most of the pizza you'll find in Los Angeles.
Well,
in Michaeltopia, that'll be my Michaeltopia. In Michaeltopia, we have emissaries that travel from New York to all points on the globe to teach people how to make good pizza. Like there's when your gluten-free pizza is better than most stuff you can find in Los Angeles, you are crushing it.
Yeah.
You are crushing it.
Well, if people would just, like, in my mind, if you decide that you need to not eat this because you're allergic to it or it gives you health problems or whatever, you should not try to recreate things that you used to like without...
You should create new things.
You should create new things, yes. So, like, I try to mimic some things, but some things I'm just like, no, it's never going to taste right. No, I'm not doing it. I mean, you buy these books and they have these recipes, you know, make gluten-free cookies. No, there's just...
Yeah.
There's like five gluten-free cookies and chocolate chip isn't one of them.
Hey, did you hear about the guys? And maybe I said this last week. The doctors in Australia that have like cured peanut allergies.
No.
Oh my gosh. Here's another Michaeltopia. In Michaeltopia, the host of the Loftus Party remembers to share these stories. It's almost like an inoculation. They give these kids minuscule amounts, and I could be getting the science wrong. Mm-hmm. I believe this is the way it goes. Minuscule amounts of the whatever enzyme that causes the allergic reaction, and after 18 months, these kids are no longer allergic to peanuts.
So they kind of. Well, that's very interesting.
I wonder if they could do the same thing with gluten.
Yeah, I don't know. There's actually an entire book out now called The Gluten Brain that says the wheat and stuff we eat now is not the wheat and stuff that used to be eaten because it's been grown on the same ground for too long and we probably shouldn't be eating it, but I haven't read the book.
Well, that's a whole nother show.
Yep.
Have a great weekend. Have a great Labor Day, everybody. This is the last big weekend for the beach and for the swimming pools. Be safe, and I want to thank the firefighters who are keeping the flames away from Burbank. Thanks for support. Oh my gosh, we had a great reaction to this week's vlog on Facebook. So thanks to everybody for sharing that and liking that. A lot of people responded well to that. Thanks for subscribing to the YouTube channel. I do think YouTube is playing some little tricks on us, but you know what? It's their game, so we're just going to keep playing. But thanks for subscribing, thanks for listening, thanks for sharing. You guys are the best. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time.